All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nast?
What's up, Rigorilla? It's your bedtime, buddy.
Oh, it's past my bedtime, Nast. You know that.
Way past your bedtime, big cat.
Keep my ass up.
Oh, my God. I'm doing this purposely, everyone, to keep this guy up.
I know you are.
Big Vincent Jets. That's a sweet-looking jacket.
You like that, bad boy?
I do. I had my hat on.
Private aviation, dude. Private aviation.
Right. That's right. I'm just glad I own the whole thing now.
Yeah. Big wheel.
They're the best, man. Awesome.
Yeah.
What's going on, my man?
Not much. What's happening in Flyers Nation?
Flyers Nation, man.
Wins on the road.
Yep.
Good hockey.
I think you'd have to say it was a good trip. I really thought they were going 3-0, especially after grabbing those first two wins against undefeated Edmonton team. God, are they unbelievable, that team. You know, we came away with a win there, but God, they zipped that puck around. Holy cow, man.
Fast moving.
I was so happy for Carter to get that win there. And the team, but like Carter, because his first time there, you know, like we talked about last week, was
wasn't overly hot.
Yeah. He got pulled. He got hooked. And I was happy to see him get that win and the team get that win, because Edmonton.
Sure, that was a big win. Yeah,
that was a huge win, and come back the next night against Van.
Yeah,
win. I really thought they were going to sweep that trip. You know, as you know from playing, Calgary went from Pitt all the way home.
Right.
With it's under 24 hours until basically the next game, so I thought Flyers might be able to catch them. I'll tell you what, Calgary's a good team.
Man. Oh watching yeah, they
that,
are
watching that game. Wow, I mean, there's a reason their record's that good. So. Good trip though, man.
Yeah, some really good hockey. So should be happy with themselves, and you know, coming home for I think they're only home for a game here, and then on the road for two. But nonetheless, come home with 2-1. We'll take it all day.
Yeah, for sure, man. They played well, and playing without Ryan Ellis, which
yeah,
you know, you don't make any excuses. I actually like watching Sealer back
there. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah. He's a guy to root for.
I love his game.
Yeah.
But you want Allison to line.
Sure.
I mean, let's be honest. But I do like his energy. I like, I'll tell you what, man, he's all over the puck. He's all over the other team. And I like his
game. Yeah, he's got a great attitude. You know, like his approach, the mental approach to the game, you can tell. He's dialed in and he's giving it all he's got. So,
yep.
But that's, you know, that's contagious. Guys see that. And the leaders are leading, right?
Yep.
It seems to be Coots, G.
Yeah.
Atkinson is, I think I read somewhere that as far as a new player is, you know, as far as goal scoring coming to a new team, Flyers organization. But he's hot, man. He shoot the puck. You almost almost expect it to go in. Almost.
I know. Right.
One of those guys.
It was funny the other night during the, I don't know if it was the Edmonton game. I think it was. I was like, because their line's been really good. That second line, if you want to call them the second line, which I think you have to. Even today I saw on TV, our buddy Scott Hartnell was kind of talking about them on the network.
Yeah.
They have put some numbers up, and it was funny during that game. There was this one little part where I was like, man, I don't feel like I've heard Atkinson's name. And the next thing you know, he scores.
Yeah.
You know, I was shit, this guy he's a dangerous puck in the net.
Yeah.
He is, man. I mean, you shoot, right? You shoot.
Yeah, he's always shooting. Shot. Yeah. Big shot. But, you know, he's got that quick speed where he can just kind of like create something out of nothing. I find that he's good at creating turnovers and like in like interesting spaces where he's all of a sudden now he's on offense and then he's a threat, you know?
100%.
But he's like a little shark, you know. I think he just kind of like lays in the weeds, and then when he does break up the play, he's, you know, again, he's in a scoring position and he's blasting the puck. So nice to see, you know, it's nice to see him have success early. Only going to get more confidence moving forward. But the team seems to have a nice little flow early on in the season. So
nice spirited bout with our buddy Luke Shen. And
McEwen. Yeah,
you and I ran into him the other night.
Snoop.
With Snoop and McEwen, but he's got some long arms.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
He's got a reach.
He's a big dude, yeah. Man.
But that was a great fight. I don't know if I've ever seen someone have a hold of the visor.
The visor like that.
I don't think he probably meant to do that, but you can't let go, right?
Your finger is probably trapped in there, honestly.
He's lucky he didn't. I mean, the visors actually can cut you.
It's not exactly where you want to be.
No.
I think he just grabbed on and latched onto the wrong part of center there.
Yeah. Spirited bout both guys. It was awesome. You know, both had some marks on their face.
Yeah.
They just basically punched each other in the face for a good 30 seconds. Yep. Thanks for coming.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens. It's good to see. It was, I don't know. I liked it.
I don't know anybody else hated
Sorry, NHL, but there's no one sitting down when the fight happens.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's great. Great trip, man.
Yep.
Good to see. Now they're back home for a game, like you said, and then back on the road for a couple. But
good
trip.
Good stuff. What's happening in the fans of Philly land there, Nast?
Oh, fans of Philly. You know, our trip's coming up. It's getting closer.
It's getting closer.
They've got one coming up. These guys are unbelievable. They go around, like you said before, for all the teams here in Philly and trips. It's so cool to see. They're going to be going to New Jersey in Newark on the 28th of November. Our trip, everybody, hope to see you there. Arizona, December 11th.
Look out.
Yeah, look out. They're going to be in Seattle. They're taking a trip out west to see old Hack.
Dave
Hackstall. And then in the new year in January, Long Island, the new building there. Be ready to go. And then Smashville, baby. You and I will be there that one. March 27th.
That's dangerous.
For that one. And that could be Danger Bay, as you like to say. I'm going to be on my best behavior.
Yes, you will.
No, I won't. I'm kidding. I will. But
children.
Nasty. Yeah. Coming to town. Can't wait. That's going to be so much fun. All those trips are fun. Seeing them, you know, when I was with the team and they're just going nuts the whole game. It's just so much fun.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah,
I'm pumped. I can't wait. I'm so happy we were invited to join them.
It's a great excited about it. A great road trip right there.
It is.
Oh yeah. And what do we got going on this weekend, Nass? Big tourney coming into the area.
Yeah,
the Warriors,
Philadelphia Warriors, the national tournament they got here. It's usually in Vegas, and our buddy Brad Marsh got it here, so it's a big deal. Yeah, it's a really big deal, man. It's they are so pumped up. We didn't get our rematch though.
I know what happened, boys.
Marshy, Duffer, what happened here? We didn't get that rematch. Maybe that's good. We just say we were one of two teams that have ever beat them.
Yeah, right.
So, but they're awesome guys, man, and we pull for them, and they're just great dudes. All three tiers, all tier one, tier two, tier three, playing all weekend.
Yep.
We're gonna be there Friday.
Yep. Check them out. Hollydale or Voorhees there, Nass? Where are we at?
We're gonna be in Hollydale. That's where their first game is. They're playing the Blues Warriors team. Our buddy Mike McKenna is gonna be in town.
Beauty.
With them. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and they are dialed in. I talked to Duff.
Oh
Daddy,
yeah, they're ready to
Duff,
rock.
Duff Daddy today, and he's fired up, man. So
it's a big time. This is big time, man. Really, national really championships, is. Man.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm happy they were able to get it here, and I hope a lot of people come out to see it because it's gonna be awesome. And we have a little jersey.
Oh yeah,
going on for that.
Yeah, check it out. A little jersey auction raffle type of deal for all the money is going towards the Warriors and their team and their mission. So
our buddy Scott Lawton was nice enough to sign his Nasty Knuckles jersey.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a great weekend for them. I'm so, like you said, Ross, just so pumped up for them and happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that. And talking about excitement, we're excited to tell you about our new partner, Amazon Music. Amazon Music is offering you 3 free months of a membership. No credit cards needed.
So head to getamazonmusic.com/nasty. That's it. You can get 75 million songs in HD, no commercials, always on demand. Listen to unlimited music and podcasts like Nasty Knuckles, your favorite, right here. So type in getamazonmusic.com/nasty for 3 months free.
Beauty, 3 months free. Let's do it, Nast.
Let's do it, baby.
And let's get on to episode 47.
Woo!
With your boy.
Goody the Butcher.
He is a beauty and a butcher.
He is both.
Yeah. So awesome to connect with him. And let's listen in. Let's go. Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I am Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we are so happy to have our boy, my main man, number 7 from the Florida Panthers, the Butcher, Retko Gudas. Goody, what is up, my brother?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
How are you, man?
Great.
Good to see you.
Getting a little...
from the Florida Panthers. Thomas and
the train. What's up, brother? You better give Riggs a little bit of that dance.
Well, let's
just show
see
him a little bit. Oh, yeah. Yeah, give Ross a.
I love
it. Listen to the train. Do it again.
That is something. Well done. I love it.
That's the best start to a show ever, Goody. First we have classic. You and you get the train. Love that guy, man. It's my boy.
Oh yeah, he was excited. I miss him. We're doing it. Yeah.
He's awesome. I was getting ready to say to you, so I just had Halloween. I'm sure you guys had your Halloween party. Did you sweat it out a little bit today? Coaches put you in the ring.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple of days between the games too, so they made sure we sweat everything out. So
nice.
A good one.
Yeah.
You need it, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Expect
those days.
It's probably less and less of those days in this day and age, right? I mean, compared to back in the day. when there was a few more of those.
especially now when you when the season's all clogged up because of the Olympics too, everything's
right.
I feel like it's even faster and faster. Last year, every 2 day game, and this year it feels like every 2-3 days is a game again. So that's quick. So really happy with 4 days between.
Yeah, right.
I was shocked when I saw that because we were trying to obviously schedule with you. And I said to Rouse, I said, I don't know what they got going on, but they're not playing for a few days. But
the Halloween party, that's what they had going
on. Yeah, that's what you
guys did. Everything,
I think the butcher called the league and said, listen, we need a couple extra days. I want to
have Halloween.
What did you go as, Goody?
Well, me and my girl, we went for death. Mexican death outfit, like a Cinco de Mayo
mask, okay.
And with the white faces and mariachi style. It was nobody knew who we were. We showed up late to the party too because we were trick or treating with the kids too. So we showed up a little later, and everybody's like, "Who are these two?"
All right.
So I can't believe your beard didn't give it away.
I covered it. I covered it with the mask.
Oh, you had it. Oh, like, okay. I got it.
They were like touching my face, and then they got to the beard. Like, oh, it's good.
that was good. It's the butcher.
Oh, man. It's great.
Yeah, but they started earlier, and then we showed up late, so I had some catching up to do, you know, and then, you know, the usual.
Yep.
Right.
That's awesome, man.
That's great.
Speaking of the beard, before we get going, probably one of the best beards in hockey, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But the rumor has it, I've known you for a while now, Goody, but the rumor has it you had a full-blown beard at 9, and you scared the shit out of kids.
I don't want to... Not 9.
10.
I got a text from my 7th grade, and I got a text from one of my classmates, girls. She's like, I think you should shave. It doesn't look good.
Come on.
All right. 7th grade, I think it's time I should get dad's razor and get the mustache off.
I just started shaving a couple years ago, Goody. Long enough.
You just had your first beard hair a couple years ago.
I dived it blonde too when I was in like 9th grade. You know, I had a full chin.
Oh, man.
That's sick.
I had the frostbites and dived the chin strap. I was ridiculous, but. It was good at that time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right. It was in style.
The boys appreciated it in the playoffs. That's all that matters.
That's right.
What a start down there, Goody. Wow. You guys got a good team, though, man. Like,
yeah.
Even going back to last year, great year. It sucked who you had to meet in the first round because I feel like you guys were the two teams. Like, you'd rather see you two meet in a conference final to me. I mean, but it is what it is. But this year's a new year, and what a start.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was unfortunate that we got Tampa in the first round. I believed in our group that we even could beat them, and I think we had the tools and we had the motivation. And I thought there was like 2-3 breaks in that series that really cost us the games, you know. The game one, Vasilevsky came up with unbelievable saves, then we got scored on a minute left in the game, and it kind of got us down. But you know, I think we hold our ground. We surprised a lot of people last year, and this year everybody just came back with like smile and little chip on the shoulder. And you got that little okay, like we're this good. I know we can be this good. I know I can play on this level, and let's just take it from where we left off. So, it's been nothing but fun to play down here. And it's really fun to win always. And when you have a start like this, everybody's feeling great about themselves and everybody has the confidence. So it's fun to be down here right now.
Yeah. Goody, I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm sure you know, because you know my true age. I'm on the wall down there. The very first team picture. You got to check it out from 93-94. Me and my old man. Me and Sudsy. Right.
And the old starter jacket or what?
Yeah, I think they were starter jackets, actually. They were made by Starter.
I'm going to walk by in the hallway.
That's a long time ago. But anyway, great start. We've been following you guys, obviously. I've been following quite a bit. Fuck, you guys are fun to watch too, man.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the hockey is like pretty too, you know, like we have unbelievable group up front and it's a treat to watch. Barkey is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Even in practice.
I feel like I just don't think he gets enough recognition.
No, this guy's, he does not.
He's so good, man. God. Yeah. He's so big too, hey, Goody? Like, even when you were with us and we're playing against him, you're just like, how does he not get more people talking about him? Like, he's just sick. He does it all, man.
I agree with you. He's everywhere on the ice. He does the right plays, and he's the right man to lead us right now. And like I said, it's fun to be down here, and he's having fun. We're all having fun, you know? So it's great to see. And it's good to see the group of young guys coming up together like this too and supporting each other. And now we get Jumbo out here too with the beard. So I gotta say I'm the second best beard on the team now, which doesn't
with
really
With Jumbo, I was going to bring that up, Jumbo.
That wise old beard.
What a beautiful man, eh? He is the best, dude. I love that guy. I'm sure he's fitting in, man. It's hard for him not to fit in anywhere he goes, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And he picked this place for a reason, too. So he's doing his part. He's loving every moment. He's making the guys feel more comfortable. And, you know, we had some hard times, but he made sure everybody's feeling uplifted. And, you know, that's what you need from players like that. So I'm really happy I get to play with him on the team. And he's he's an unbelievable guy.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I was going to say, I was at the Flyers-Panthers game in Philly there, and you guys just looked so crispy, like, compared, you know, the Flyers are playing some good hockey too, but you guys just execute on a high level. Like, everything seems to be on point, transition, you know, you just don't lose a step. It's nice to watch, you know, and you talk about chemistry and some of the stuff you're talking about. You can certainly see it. And Joe wasn't even playing that game, you know, and, you know, you had some nice chemistry going on top to bottom. Goaltending, obviously, is a huge piece of that, which you guys have. So,
like I said, the boys are feeling really good about themselves. And, you know, with Barkey and Yubi, it's really hard not to follow even in practices. You know, they go this hard in practices, and, like, the rest of the group just wants to be close to their level, you know, just, like, trying every practice to be somewhere near them, but which is undoable on Barkey's level, but everybody's trying, you know, be like he's pushing everybody else too, so it's great. And the youth really is helping.
Yeah, you can see there's just no secret when there's good teams. Like, I know you've been on good teams before. I remember coaching you back when you're in, or against you when you're back in Norfolk and Syracuse, and you have those unbelievable teams, but you can just see it. The chemistry and that energy, that's what makes good teams, right? I mean, it's like guys pushing each other and just cranking up that energy in practice and bringing the games, having fun. Like you said, like, just having fun. I mean, right out of the gates, you guys are having fun. That's every hockey player's dream, right? Yeah, it's a dream.
It's huge to players, especially with staff too, man. It's so
staff. Yeah,
everyone. Better to go in, you know, like as an equipment guy or a trainer or any part of the staff. Your job is to never hang your head, never to have, like, even if you've lost a bunch in a row, but man, it's a lot easier to go in when when you don't lose. I mean, knock wood for you guys. Yeah. Obviously you're going to lose at some point, but you know what I mean? It's nice for everyone. It's nice for everyone. Doesn't hurt either. Goody waking up and looking outside, having your coffee. It's 80 degrees. Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little plus too. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Too tempting every morning. Yeah.
I remember my first year I went to school in South Carolina, and it was always pretty warm, but it would get colder than it does in Florida. Anyway, I just remember some of the players on the team going, I kind of missed the change of seasons. I'm like, fuck that. Dude, it's January, man. And I'm wearing shorts and a tee.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't miss the seasons, bro. Like, I don't care. I really don't, man. Because you got to go to other places that are cold anyway, right? Like,
you gotta. The thing is with the travel for us, you don't really miss the winter because you're there every 2-3 weeks into the travel. Yeah. But, it's hard to wear shorts and shirt and.
Yeah, why do you think all the teams make a vacation out of their Florida trips?
For the most part,
coming down here, a lot of extended time down here, for sure.
We had Goody, we had Cimarron last week, and we were talking about his dad and the dad trips, mm-hmm. and one was in Florida, where his dad ended up moseying on down the hallway and getting on a medical table. He was just trying to have a nap, and the boys were video. You may have been with us then. Yeah. Boys were videoing him, and Simmer just started losing it. Sarah's, get up, man! He was like, get up! Everybody's making fun of you. It was so funny, but you're right, man. It's what a great place, and it's awesome. I'm happy for you.
I getting agree. To be there. All the whole family wants to do stuff in the water, and all the kids learn how to swim first 2 weeks here, and it's they're enjoying every time they're that's outside. Awesome. So every day it's fun for them. It's different feel than where we were before. Yeah,
Goody, you might be that guy that moves to, like all the Russians and all the Canadian or French guys move down to Florida when they're done. You stay there for a while. Yeah. They're not going to want to leave, man.
Yeah, right.
Or at least you can have a place to come visit when it's really cold in Czech, right? Like come down for
sure. For sure. My mom was just here, and my in-laws were here, and they did not want to go back.
No, I guess not, right?
The weather would be starting to break there, or has
the weather's becoming full-on winter right now, and they didn't get much snow yet, and it's that grayish cold at home, so they're like, we'll be back for Christmas. Is that all right? They lived the travel ban this month, so I think they're all started looking at plane tickets, and they're planning on coming and being here for extended period.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome.
We never had them here for Christmas, especially with the kids. Or we had them separately, but not together. But I think it's going to be fun for the kids to have both grandmas at the Christmas table for once, so it's going to be a different feel this year. I hope everything's going to work out. You never know with the traveling right now, but
hopefully it's better.
Hopefully
it's better. They lifted it this month, so I got an offer or something, so they'll be able to come and see us.
Riles and I were talking earlier, Goody, and jumping back a little bit when you first turned pro, he was newly retired and coaching against you, but he still had that itch, and he's like, I wanted to kill Goody. He's like, he was absolutely crushing dudes, and he goes, I still had a little bit of the itch, and I'm like, this guy's good. And they had no one to deal with you, right, Riggs?
Oh yeah I actually wanted to shift gears with that, your style of play, but Nasty, brings it up like that. Yeah, absolutely. I was, man. I mean, you obviously play the game hard, and physical. And I was freshly retired, so I was, assistant coach on the bench, just standing there, and you just every play you a ton of times that year, and you just kill guys. And I was just like, oh my god! I'm like, if anybody, guys, someone's got to step up. Oh my god! Oh, yeah,
those were great times, man. I loved playing Norfolk and Syracuse. Greatest time of my life, to be honest. Getting to know America and American style of hockey, and slowly finding these ways, and my great time. And I believe everybody hated me, and even when I watch some games sometimes, I'm playing, and I even want to do something,
that's classic.
You can't shake it off. Yeah, for sure. I understand every bit.
Yeah, but you're doing something right, though, dude. I mean, that's the way you play, man. It's just everyone on your team loves you and supports you, and then everyone that plays against you, man, because you're just that guy.
Their heads
that
are
guy.
On a swivel. Their heads are on a swivel.
You got a good
swivel.
Attitude around it all. I love it.
But it's still a tough game. They're still hitting involved, so still hard to work.
Dude, I'll tell you what. I remember Goody when we traded for Goody at the deadline, but he was hurt. He had knee surgery. I think it was knee, right, Goody?
Yeah.
I think so. He didn't get to play that first year, which sucks, because I wish you could have played for Chief, because he fucking loves you. He fucking loves you, man. and he didn't really get to coach you. But what I was going to say was, I remember talking to Ray, the equipment guy, and he was giving me all the info I needed on Goody. And he goes, dude, this guy's my favorite. You're going to fucking... First of all, you're going to love him off the ice, but you're going to really love him on the ice. And there's people in Philadelphia, wait till they get a load of this. And I said, well, I know who he is. I have seen him play. But I was like, then, Goody was able to play the next year, and obviously you're a fan favorite. I mean, just fucking absolutely annihilating people. But you do it, you know, you're a clean, I say you're a clean player. I really believe that. I know you've had some suspensions and stuff, but it happens, but it's almost like we've talked about it. We had Zach Ronaldo on here before. It's almost like you hit too fucking hard.
That's it.
Sometimes, I mean,
you're dude, just too good at your job.
Just Roz was talking about, I know you're like, we used to call Zach Ronaldo a shark. Like he could just, you guys can, that's
it's a skill. It's a very refined skill for sure.
People don't realize that, but that is a fucking skill, man. And dude, if you don't know, like you crushed a guy the other night, clean as can be. Dude, how does he not know you're on the fucking ice? Like, cause I know when you were in here in Philadelphia, like, and I used to tell you this, like Quinn McGuire or Trey, whoever I'd be talking to, be like, fuck, we better be aware of, you know, number three, you know, the three train rolling. I said, yeah, you might want to be, but no, like, it's just I love the way you play. You know that, man, but it's.
Thanks, man. But the thing is, it's getting harder and harder too. You know, guys are faster. There's so many other angles of everything. They look for everything. So it's, it's just harder to be the physical presence of it as it used to be 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It was a lot easier. Well, not easier, it was still hard, but not as detailed performed. And I think it's a good thing too, but I feel like sometimes it also hurts some of the players. They don't expect to be hit sometimes, you know, in certain situations. So, yeah, you got to know who you're on the ice against 100%.
Of course, right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Times, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, you better.
I'm glad you guys talked about this like that with Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Ray, he told me that. He's like, you're going to love this dude off, on and off the ice. And of course, I do. I'm a man. Riles, going back to what you were talking about when the Norfolk, you guys broke our record, man. The fan
crushed the record.
It was the lockout year. The Phantoms, and obviously the whole season was shot. And would you guys win 17, Riles?
It was 17, yeah.
17,
you guys crushed it. I forget what you guys finished at. Was it 28 or 29?
Yeah,
or?
28. The season finished our record.
Last
game of the season, we finished on the winning note. Yeah, that was great.
It's insane.
That's
a serious run.
Yeah, that was.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, like, did you ever expect to lose again? And then you won the cup too, so it's not like
we lost three games in the playoffs.
I was gonna say three. Did you when you lost? Were you like, what the fuck?
Seriously. No, we went. We finished even the playoffs. We finished last 10 games 10-0. Like it was 2-2, second round, and then. We won 4-2 that series, and then we swept the conference and finals. It was one of a kind of a year. It was really fun.
And but Coop was your coach, right?
Yeah, Coop was the coach, and I would say there were only like four or five guys that didn't get a chance in the next 2-3 years in the show after. So the team was pretty stacked up. They did a great job with drafting and keeping all the guys around, and it was an unbelievable feeling, and what a great year we had as much fun as possibly we can in the minors too. So it was great.
What, man, winning a championship, man, wherever you win it, it's like
you're having some good times along the way.
Yeah, I mean it's awesome.
And you remember it too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you remember it.
A couple of years ago we had like a five-year reunion after the Calder Cup. Yeah, we met in Norfolk. It was like
that's awesome.
Guys showed up, and it was amazing. It was really, really cool. We flew with the Czech guys, with Andre and Richard. We flew just for a weekend to Norfolk from Czech. It was
I was gonna say, were you tense up for about a week? Yeah. Could you imagine the flight over? Like you're fucking jacked. You guys are probably
the flight back.
The flight. Did you rest on the flight back at least? Was it like knocked right out?
The whole way.
Come on.
Is it anything like the lake benders with Jakey and the boys back in Czech?
There's not many things like the mustache.
I was texting with Jake and I told him you were coming on and he was like, yeah, bring up the lake benders. I was saying, well, I don't think we can really. I don't think we can really talk about the videos I've seen. We cannot talk about on Here We Are.
No way. Yeah. You have to experience it.
I was going to say, right. Man, I don't know if I'd make it out of there alive, but it looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're coming back older for sure.
Yeah.
A couple of years. But it's fun. They're all the guys. It is fun. You laugh your ass off the whole time. It's
can only imagine.
What's great about it too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, those videos.
And there's only so many lakes in Czech too, so there's everybody goes only to a few places, so you pretty much see everybody at the lake. Do you feel like you see the whole Czech though? So it's pretty fun.
Goody, I was going to ask you, kind of building off your style of play, but when did you identify that you were like really good at playing that brand of hockey? And then did you like go out of your way to kind of like identify yourself as that, or did it just come so naturally that you just kind of let it happen?
I mean, I grew up, my dad played hockey as well. He won the bronze in the Olympics. He was in a national team for I don't know how many games, but a lot of games. And I just grew up watching him, and he was that hard-hitting. He was a lefty, but hard-hitting guy in the back that stays at home. And I always went to the home games. I always watched him, so I kind of had it in the back of my mind. And then when I think 12 or 13 years, when we start to be able to hit in Czech Republic, when we moved back to Czech, I went with it, and all of a sudden, guys starting falling away from me, and
that in the beard.
When I was 16, when I got called from the men's league, at the 16-year-old, I felt like I'm ready to participate with men, and then I played two and a half years with adults and
pro. I was pro, right?
Guy by 7 years in the team, so I just had to become bigger, stronger, and so by 18-19, when I went to play 1 year in junior in Everett, I was playing back with kids, and I'm used to playing heavy men, so it was
so you're just killing guys.
I felt bad for some of the kids that they didn't know what's coming their way. It was
disturbing, bro.
Can you imagine, man?
Yeah, it was. Oh my God. Yeah, it was tough. Some of the news around of me around the league, it was pretty funny. Like, who is this guy? Like, I showed up at the camp too with beard, long hair, and the coach like, you gotta trim the beard.
Oh, he made you shave?
No way.
Yeah. I'm like, really? What do you mean? Like, I can't shave. Like, I have so many scars. I've been bleeding. No. You have to come to every game shaved. So I was shaving every week twice.
Wow.
Just so I can be
after. So if you shave twice, that means if you shaved Monday, you were back to that Wednesday.
Monday, Wednesday, Monday, Thursday, those were my shaving days. Like, it was ridiculous. Some of my teammates, they shaved once a year, you know, and then they were growing the beard for the playoffs. And it was funny. But yeah,
you're they just made too me scary.
Shave for 1 year, yeah. I went no beer, but the next year I slowly got into it. And then actually that 28-game streak was me, Eric Nielsen, and Scott Jackson. We kind of all had pretty solid beards. And they're like, you know what? Let's just keep it going until the streak ends. And it never ended. So we went with beards right in the playoffs. We went all the way. So
ZZ Top.
Really, yeah, right.
Really solid ones. So it was... We were the all beard team for sure that year. Oh, so it started there, and I never really shaved it back, to be honest. I just kept it and still riding the Norfolk train with the beard.
There you go. Yeah. That suits you.
Goody, I remember one of I don't know if it was the first time we played Tampa when you were with the Flyers. But I'll tell you this too, and Riles, you know this about Goody. Like, one thing I love is, like, you play the game hard no matter who you're playing. You got buddies on the team. But Riley, I don't think I told you this. We're playing Tampa, and Goody gets up. He had told me, I think we had talked about it, and you said, I know what it was. He gets in a fight with JT Brown, right?
Yeah.
And so afterwards, after the game or after the period, like, I said, how was that guy? He goes, he's like one of my best friends. And I'm like, or my roommate. I can't remember what he said, but I was like, what? He goes, yeah. He's like, let's go. I was like, okay. I don't know. I think you had hit someone. Yeah, I think you had crushed someone. But I just laughed. He goes, oh, yeah, he's one of my best friends. He's a great guy. One of my best buddies. Yeah, and I'm like, what?
Yeah. That's the beautiful part about hockey, right?
Yeah, he was great. He was with us in Syracuse. Then we came in Tampa. I was playing with him for 3 years. I had a great relationship with him, too. And I just, smoke one of their guys. And he's like, yeah, let's go. I'm like, yeah. I will, but come on. But he hold his ground too. I think I broke his rib too, or something like that. That he was out for a little bit after. But it happens, man.
It does.
The brothers on the ice.
Yeah, exactly.
Off the ice, but on the ice.
I remember you telling me, Goody, also when you fought Genla, twice, didn't you? Twice. Yeah, and you had hit someone, or I don't know if you hit him. Did you hit him? Is that what it happened?
I got him. Yeah, very first. We made the roster in Tampa. It was my first full year, and very first game in Boston. I got him in the middle of the ice. So he skated after me, and I had a great time. I watched.
You got to fight Iggy, right?
I go to the bus after the game, and the coach is like, "Do you realize who you just fought?" I'm like, "I know."
He's tough though, man.
Oh yeah,
he's tough. Yeah, he's tough, man. Dude. He's got some legendary.
He knows. Things. Yeah, he knows how to chuck him. So
yeah. I actually felt bad for him the one time. I don't know if you remember, Riggs. Zach and him got in a fight. Same kind of thing.
Oh right, yeah, I remember.
Hit a guy, and he caught Iggy like in the temple, and he was a little off, and then Zach hit him again, and he was out of sorts. Like, he didn't know what was going on.
I remember that.
Obviously, it's gonna happen in fights, but I actually was like, fuck, that's Iggy. He almost feel bad.
Well, yeah, he's been in the league for 15 years.
But he's done that to people too.
Oh, man. Sure, yeah.
It's going to happen. You can't win them all, man.
Exactly. You can feel bad, but you can't really.
Yeah, it is what it is. I was going to say, based on your style of play and how many I'm not even sure how many suspensions you've had, but how many phone calls to the Department of Safety, the NHL, have you had? So it seems like you've had a lot of, avoided a lot of suspensions over the years too.
Yeah, no, definitely more than I want. But last few years, I'm trying to clean up as much as I can. I think I had some good talks with them, and I'm just trying to learn the way they're looking at things too. You know, it helps definitely helps me approaching some of the hits too. So
yeah,
I think it's a. We're in a healthy relationship where we were in a healthy relationship where they're trying to help me to figure out my game as well. So I understand them too. George is a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he wants and what he doesn't want. And it doesn't help that I fought him twice as well, but
right.
Some things, you know, that he doesn't want and wants, we clear that out. And I think, so far, knock on something.
Yeah, knock wood. Yeah, knock wood. Peros broke his hand on Riggs' head.
Oh yeah,
years back. Oh, really? Remember that one? He literally did. Remember?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because we saw him in Vegas and he had a cast bomb on, and he came over and he was hanging out. And Ryle's like, "Oh, what'd you do?" He goes, "Oh, actually, I broke it on your head."
Yeah. Like, what? Uppercut bomb. Yeah. Yeah, it happens.
It happens.
But I was just gonna say, like, you know, like being honest with your style of play and like how heavy you are, you know, like there's some really clean hits that just look violent because of just how good you are at hitting, you know, and then everyone just judges like the aftermath of it. I feel like there's some obviously grayer area hits there that just the game is so fast. Like, what are they coaching? How are they coaching you to approach some of these hits? Because I feel like now more than ever, the game is so fast, and you're, you know, you engage in a hit, and like if you hit a guy even half-ass, I feel like you're gonna get him good. So like, I remember, you know, Reno telling us a story about Lappy, where Lappy would sit him down and say, like, Reno, like, it's like, you just can't hit as much, because like every time you hit somebody, you're killing them, and it's turning into either a penalty or a suspension. But like, how do you communicate with the NHL and actually implement that in your games? I feel like it's just like the spirit of you, and like, you know, playing hard.
I can't say I had a talk with somebody that would tell me not to hit as much, but you know, the center ice hits, that's what I think is getting away from, you know, that's the most dangerous one, when the guys are looking down, and guys are getting smarter with not going through the middle of the ice with their heads down. So that's a big reason why there is not so many center ice. There obviously there are still some, and it will happen. Always somebody's always gonna try to sneak through the middle with the head down. Right? Yeah. I think the recognition of what is going on in the middle of the ice and these plays, even the players that are with the puck know that it's a dangerous area for them to be at. And I think everybody don't want to be the guy in the middle.
No.
Light out. So I'm just trying to be as smart as possible, not to lead with shoulder, not to hit any, not ahead, try to get the shoulders as much as I can, or try to hit them in the shoulders, you know, not to target the head, because like you said, every hit now is reviewed many times and from different angles, and you don't want to hurt anybody out there either, you know. Like as hard as the hits are, if it happens in the middle of the ice, they're more likely to get the injury out of it. So just approach it healthy, you know. Sometimes the benches scream too when they see me on the ice lining in the middle. So
of course, going, yeah, they yeah. should be.
The puck sooner than,
I've
than
heard that. Did, I've
but heard that. Yeah, I think it's a learning curve for everybody, for me and for the opposing teams as well. But you know, we play pretty good defensive style in our D zone that allows me to play physical game, and that's right now where I'm. Finding my game and playing in my strength, and hopefully everybody on my team is happy with my performances in the D zone. So
I'm sure,
you know, it's playing in my cards right now.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly showing. I mean, like, yeah, I look at that hit the other day against I'm drawing a blank. Who was clean hit Dzingel there on the wall? I mean, like, that's as clean as it's gonna get, right? As far as actual body check, I mean. Unfortunately, he gets hurt on the play, but I mean,
I don't know what else to do
except for exactly what you did. But I mean, I guess kind of going back to what I was asking, like, those types of things are going to happen, because that's just like the honest part of the play. I think it's just from my understanding now is, like, back in the day when you had to be accountable putting yourself in a vulnerable position, they're essentially penalizing the guy that would take advantage of that and telling you not to make those hits, basically. It's basically what it sounds like those conversations have been, because, I mean, that's the only other way you could, you know, limit those types of plays is if you hit a guy with his head down in the middle of the ice, you're going to absolutely kill him. So they're basically telling you don't make that hit or hit him a little softer, kind of like you did on the off the bench guys there. The Suey passes.
You know? That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, that was great. That was great.
Those guys, man.
You kept a straight face there, too. Dude, that was priceless.
I got to do a little skit with them, too, that day, but I remember sticking my head out. Right when I stuck my head out of one of the doors, Goody just lays him out on the wall. And I'm like, ow.
They had to have been feeling it the next day.
No, they wear nothing on their stuff either.
Oh, hardly. How do I just, like, make it look like I want to hit you or hit you? It's like, yeah. No, you hit me. I'm like, no. And those
you're
boards are hard. Dude, they're not moving in the skate zone there, you know? They're hard. Oh, yeah.
Your show will be canceled if I hit you, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Put you out of business.
Done.
Oh yeah, that was fun. I liked it. That was like three guys we did the sessions. Yeah, it was great. Those guys are funny. I still watch their skits.
I do too.
Oh yeah, they are great.
They're funny.
They're awesome. You had me giggling because you kept a straight face the whole time. I don't know how you did it, because they're just such idiots.
Yeah. Yeah, it took a couple takes for sure. There was,
What it would I kicked them out of the gym. We did this little piece where they were in there working out, and as I walk in, I got those, they have all those cameras on me, and I almost could keep a straight face because what Jake's holding Ollie by his waist and he's trying to pull himself up and he's got the gloves on. I'm like, hey, what are you two doing? You know, like, but I almost was dying. And he actually says, I'm kicking him out the side door. And he says, tell the cheese man to give me a call or something like that. And I'm like doing my best of biting my lip. Cause I was like, cheese man. Because I remember they were calling you a cheese wheel. Yeah, cheese wheel. Cheese man. It's the butcher. Okay, yeah, right. Okay, cheese man. Yeah. All right, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. So, Goody, I had a question. I remember us talking before. How many languages do you speak or can you speak or understand? Because I know it's been a while for some of them.
Yeah, a few now. I'm getting... Actually, I'm picking up more Spanish down here.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Spanish is cool, and they come back with Spanish, and a lot of the restaurants here are Spanish-based. So, but I know Germany, I would say, would be the third best. A little bit of Swedish, a little bit of Russian, you know, like,
yeah.
just because of the being around them. Yeah, a few... Not as many as I would like to. I would like for sure more, but you know, I can probably get around a lot more places than I would think. But probably three right now that I would be able to communicate and have a good conversation with. Would be Czech, English, and German, and the other ones I would struggle with and throw some English words in for sure. But, yeah, I could probably get around even in Italy and places like that. So it's
more of a
hand gesture in the communications too, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was easier for me to pick up the languages since my dad played in all the different places like Germany and Sweden. That's where I learned the languages to go to school and play hockey with Swedes and Germans and no English, just German or just Swedish. So it just forces you to learn. So I'm happy with the experience. But right now, English is taking over all the other languages because I just don't use them enough to keep them fresh in my mind.
Right.
But I also think if I ever go back to Germany, I think it would be easier for me to pick up the language or when I go back to Sweden or when I go to Sweden. Maybe in future that if I stayed there for a little bit, I would pick up the language a little easier than my mom, for example, when we moved there for the first time and she was trying to speak Swedish and she like changes few words and there's same words for like baking like a pastry and a pussy.
Come on.
It was hilarious. She went into school and she's like, I baked the pussy. And they're like,
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Oh, that was funny.
She's probably all over your dad.
Carried out, but that was funny.
Wow.
Was she telling your dad, can you just pick a spot and stay with the tea? Like you're all over the place, right? I'm telling him I'm baking mitt over here. Like...
it was great. Some of these stories you can make up, you know.
Right.
But yeah, my dad liked to travel. I think he liked to travel because in 1993 when the communism came out of Czech Republic and we were able to travel around, he just wanted to explore and he was always with national team somewhere, but he never had a chance to play a season someplace else, and when he had the opportunity to leave the country, first thing he did, sign in Finland for 2 years, and he just loved to travel. So I think that was one of the reasons why they wanted, and the language was the thing that they don't really. We'll get another language. Who cares?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's awesome. How when you were a kid, did you just love like watching and him play, obviously, and go to the rink and stuff like that? Were you able to do that a lot? Yeah.
Big fan. Yeah. Number one fan of his for sure.
That's awesome.
Everywhere we played, it was harder for me because I couldn't get the like a registration to play with my age group. So usually when we switched to a different country, it took me a couple of months to get the registration. So like first 2 months, I would only practice with the team, and then I knew I'm the best guy on the team. So I'm like, I just you guys lost 5-0. Like,
yeah.
Jeez, you're sitting there.
What's going on?
Can you guys get me in here, please? And
then, oh my God.
Yeah. But then it was great years. Like in Germany, I had games where I scored 10 goals and I was full on power forward. You know, I was having a great time. And
did you play forward growing up?
Yeah, I was forward until under 16.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
you imagine going back to get a puck as a D-man.
D-man's nightmare.
Go ahead, dude. Go ahead. D-man's nightmare.
It was fun because I played adult hockey in Czech with adults, second highest league. But I also was playing with my age group in a town that was near. So I played Wednesday, Saturdays for the adults, and Thursday, Sunday, I think it was for my age group. And we go with the A team on Wednesday to play in Ústí. That's one town. That's where Nuvi's from. We played the main team, and I play the game. And the next day I go to Kladno, and we play against Ústí, but against their like my age group. And I line up on the face off, and this guy is like, "Oh man, didn't you play yesterday?"
They were watching you play.
Yeah. Yeah, bros. Right. Like, "Oh man, you look good." My God, watch me, man. This I think that game I ended somebody's game. Yeah. I got kicked out because I hit somebody behind the net. I think that was the guy. I'm pretty sure it was the guy.
No way. That
he watched me the night before, and I smoked him behind the net. And the ref's like, this is too much.
You got it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I had some hard times in Czech. I was happy to make the transitions from European hockey to the American, to be honest. It was a relief.
Yeah.
Even the adult hockey where they were kicking me out 3-4 times a season. I had usually a couple of misconducts a year just too hard.
Too hard, right? Yeah, you just can't get out. 10 minutes for being too hard. That's incredible, man. Incredible. Basically tossed out of those leagues. Sent over to America.
Like, I watched growing up my dad playing this way. I just had to make my dad proud, you know.
Yeah, man.
Well, he definitely did.
Sure is.
I was going to ask you, 'cause I'm interested in like your philosophy of off-ice training and how, since you've been around a bunch of different, you know, pro leagues in different countries. I mean, I know it's a little bit earlier on than it is today as far as like the philosophy goes, but can you talk about like your approach to off-ice training, say coming into North America and your mentality and what you took from Europe into the American Hockey League, and then what it is now, because now it's probably so much more recovery focused than it is like, you know, you've built the base and the foundation of the temple now it's kind of like self-preservation, and talk about your mentality towards that.
Yeah, I think I was lucky when I had the opportunity to see the different approaches, see the different workouts. I even went one summer to Finland before I went to United States I thought that was going to be my path, go to Finland, play over there. And their athletic summers, they run these crazy short distances and they're all runners and jumpers. So I took that from my dad is a coach now, and he used to play, so he always wanted to try some things that he believed in on me. So we did a lot of sand workouts. Like, we rented out the beach course, and we would spend there every week, like every day, 5 times a week. We would go there for an hour in the morning, then I go straight to the gym for another hour, and then in the afternoon, if I'm still fresh, it all depends on the recovery, how good I feel. And then afternoon, either bike or one more lift or do some other sport, you know, so you're not just one only hockey player, you know.
Right. Yeah. More of an athlete.
I don't feel like you're a good of athlete if you only play hockey and if you only focus on
100%.
Then you can't throw a ball or you can't kick it. Some of the guys that you play soccer with, you can tell they never kick the soccer. You know, right?
Yeah.
They're two touch and you can see they're looking this way and it's bouncing that way and you're hey man, you should maybe
yeah, right. Kick a ball. Riggs
was,
that was me.
Quite the soccer player before the games. His favorite part, I think.
Oh, the favorite part of hockey. Oh yeah.
He loved playing soccer.
The Super Bowl, yeah, for sure. But yeah, I had the chance to see different places, so I took as much as I can from every place. And like you said, now it's more of a recovery since the last 15 years I spent really, really building up the muscle mass. And I don't really need it necessary anymore to build more muscle. It's more sustaining it and making it even more durable or some things like that. And, you know, you lose the power in your muscles or the short things in your muscles. I don't know how to call that thing, but
the fast twitch.
The older I get, the more sprints I have to do just to sustain it, and
right.
The longer ones are just there. You don't have to take care of it as much. So it took a long like a study to know your body too. Everybody's right. Different as well, so I can't really tell you this is what's working because it's working for me, but may not work for most of people because they're built differently. And I'm building myself for nice 20 minutes of hard played hockey where you leave everything out, but you also need time to recover. Like if there's 15 minutes left in the game and you get double shifted every time, there's no way I can last those 15 minutes double shifting on the same level. You know, I also need to recover from the hard style of playing hockey. It's you know, I spoke with Roman Polak about this once. He was real similar, I would say. I'm like, they were calling me his mini me.
I remember.
He just
that.
Plays hard, but you can only play so hard, and you have only so much juice in your body to play in this style for so much. There's no way you can play 30 minutes and be hitting as much as we are or as he was. So there's a fine balance between everything. So it's a learning process, and whoever masters it, I think it's a big plus for the older guys because they understand the body way more than the younger kids now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that is probably the biggest lesson guys could learn, and the sooner they learn it, the longer career they might have just based on self-preservation, is understanding that balance. Cause I think we're all guilty of overdoing it when we're young, right? It's like pushing the limits, pushing, you know what I mean? Overdoing it. I've talked to some strength guys that say they probably ruin, you know, a lot of players from just overdoing it and then, you know, promoting injury and stuff like that. But the sooner you can be honest with that, I think this conversation around work versus recovery and identify and be honest with how much recovery you actually need based on, you know, your style and how much work you're putting into it. The better chance you have, right? I mean, but it does take a long time to figure out your body and really what is necessary to sustain, like you said, well, not just one game, but 82 games, and you know, and play a long career, keep doing that. But
be able to get ready in short amount of time for the next game if something's wrong or you need to work on something. Yeah, it is, but it's also a fine line too when somebody gets a little too lazy, you know, they want to recover a little more, and you're like,
after recovery, right?
Uh-huh.
Listen, guys, I've been known to I've been known to overdo it, just not in a gym, like
yeah.
And I've needed more recovery duty. Yeah. You've seen me, so hey, I gotta tell you, Riggs, I gotta tell you this: we're in Winnipeg, and I got in one. By accident. I got tricked.
Oh, yeah. Overserved?
I was overserved. I ended up at that place in Winnipeg. You know, Riggs. What's the name of it?
The Moxie's?
They moved it. No, it used to be in a certain area, then they moved it. It's the new version of this place. I can't think. How do you not know you're from Winnipeg?
I'm drawing a blank right now.
Anyway, it was like big...
Earls, yeah.
No, probably. No, not Earls. It's a club, like a club. It used to, when I first got in the league, it was coming into the city, and then now it's like right downtown. It's literally across the street from the hotel. Anyway, okay. Whatever the name is. I can't believe I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, that night was Big Booty Wednesday or something. I don't know. They had this dance off. Dude, when I tell you, I walked in there, it was one extreme to the next. I mean, I saw everything in there, like anything you can't even imagine. I can't believe I can't remember the name of the place. Anyway, I got tricked. I got overserved. I did shit I shouldn't have done. The next day, I'm like, I'm pretty good. You know, you're pretty good till about noon, and then your shit starts wearing off. Yeah, right.
The crash.
So I'm like, fuck, let me get something to eat. So me and Bricks go upstairs to Earl's, I think, or whatever the place inside of the arena is, and grab some food. I could barely eat. I just couldn't eat. So anyway, guys get there. I'm okay. Get on the bench. I'm like, fuck me. I'm not feeling really good, you know? Like, so go back into the room and grabbing gloves and doing this shit. And I'm like, uh-oh. So I go into the bathroom, right? And I'm like, I think I'm going to be sick. What's going on? And I make it. I'm like, all right. So get back out. We go to the bench. So there's a cooler beside me and ice in it for guys like any, you know, knuckles, whatever they need it for. So if somebody gets hit with a puck, whatever. So I like in Winnipeg, like the fans are right there. Like, so I can't hide. So I'm behind the D. I'm at the stick end in the first period where the sticks are. And I just take the ice out and I set it under the bench. Right. Like, cause I'm like, this is going to happen here on the bench. So now I put a towel up with my arm so these people right here can't see me. And I just go right into the little orange cooler. He's sitting there and he's sitting there and Goody just turns around with that shit eating grin like he's got right now. And he goes, "You okay?" I said, "I'm in one, Goody." And he goes, man. "Good man." And he turns back around. So I make it through the rest of the period and I get in there. I didn't help anyone in between the first and second. I threw up the whole time.
Oh, man. Was Goody the only guy that saw you?
I'm pretty sure. Well, everyone knew after, but he was the only one. He turned his head and looked at me and he was like, smiling. Man. He goes, "You all right?"
That's what I saw.
It's probably like Simmer's dad trying to find a medical bed to lay on.
Oh my god, dude. I was fucking dying. I got back out for the second period and just being in the cooler air, it felt like better out there, guys skating. And I thought I was gonna have to go again. I felt so bad for the kid working the bench. I'm like, "Hey, bud, like don't open that cooler, but just go get rid of it." And he goes, "Why?" And I said, "Dad, just trust me, man, get rid of it." But good thing.
That's hilarious. I remember it.
Jesus.
There's nothing what else are you supposed to do there?
Right. Like, grow up there.
You did the best thing I think possibly you could. Hide it. Nobody knew.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Except you and I.
Exactly.
There's no TSN news, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good strategy on it.
You know what? I was afraid of. I wasn't sure where Hexy was sitting.
Oh right? Man, that would have been
like because they're upstairs, and I'm like, if he sees me,
as long as there's no video footage of it, didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I don't even remember it anymore.
Yeah, right.
Goody. Back to Jake, real quick. Beauty, obviously one of your best buddies. The Bruce Springsteen concert. He told me to bring that one up.
Yeah.
How bad is his singing, by the way?
Oh, it's Jakey. Not good. You know that lyrics, but that's about it.
He always says I'm the best. Like he is fun at a wedding. Like, not that you wish that on anyone. I'm kidding. But he's the best at wedding. Like he grabs a mic, dude.
Oh yeah.
He's singing for love 2 hours.
Too. Yeah, that's he's before it. Yeah.
He's singing. He's like the wedding. What's that movie that Adam said the wedding sing? Like this is Jake when he's done. I think he's gonna be a wedding singer. He's just paid. Yeah.
Got the stage presence, not the voice.
Oh my god. He's amazing.
It's a stage character for sure.
Yeah, he is a character, a stage character.
It was great. He picked me up in Newark, drove me straight to I flew from Canada to get my MRI before the World Cup. He picked me up. He's like, hey, man, you don't fly to Philly. I fly to Newark. I'll pick you up in Newark. Okay. So I just put the hockey bag, show up, throw it in the car, and he's like, all right, let's go straight to the concert. It was great, though. 4 hours.
Yeah,
Bruce, I still don't know how Bruce is 4 hours on the stage. I had to sit down halfway through.
Not janky. Maybe
the amount of beers. Didn't
yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's great. I think he's one of a kind and one of the best.
Yeah. For sure, man.
What a character. Well, Guder, we appreciate you carving out the time, man. I know you got family to get back to there. And
thanks for having me, man. That was,
focus on your recovery. Great. Yeah, man. Well, great seeing you.
Hey, brother. Love you, man. Miss you. Thank you so much, man.
You too.
Yeah. Give the family hugs and kisses, man. Miss them.
All of them, man. All five of them at home. I'll hug them.
Jeez. It's unbelievable.
It's great.
Crazy. I'm gonna need a bus now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no.
An old minivan.
You driving a minivan yet?
There's no chance I'm gonna get a minivan, but a bus more likely. The yellow one.
Yeah, a little yellow one. I'll drive it for you. I'll come down there and drive it. Oh man. Yeah.
All right, boys.
Thanks,
all right,
man. Brother.
Have a good day.
See you, man. Thanks, bro. Later.
We'll stay in touch. All right, guys.
Okay.
Have a great rest of the day. Okay.
Bye bye. Nasty, I got a question for you.
Well, what is it?
Are you ready to take your game outdoors?
I feel like you've asked me this before, and I'm going to say yes, I am.
Once or twice. For over 50 years, Mylik has been taking the game of hockey to streets, driveways, and cul-de-sacs across the globe.
They have been. And you know what, Riggs? You didn't have them. I did. They have the MK5 shin pads. Ooh. That are the number one selling off-ice hockey shin pads in the world, bro. Not like in the cut, in the world.
In the world.
Just so you know. You didn't have any.
Got to get me a pair. You did.
I've already done it.
Yeah.
They also have a sick lineup of hockey goals ranging from the lightweight PVC goals all the way up to regulation pro steel goals, which I bury in either way.
You do. I know you do.
Well, ball hockey, maybe.
Oh, yeah. And you know that little orange ball?
I do.
That started it all?
I do.
Well, that thing's evolved into multiple hockey balls scientifically designed to perform consistently in a variety of weather, temperatures, and asked.
It's amazing. It is. And you know what? They also have They have a wide selection of hockey sticks for any type of playing surface as well. Mylek has all of your off-ice hockey needs covered, brother.
Visit Mylek.com and use promo code NASTYKNUCKLES to get 10% off your next order. Mylek, hockey starts here.
Right here, baby.
Let's go, Nast. Right here, baby.
Love those guys. Love them.
Absolutely. A big thank you to our boy Radko Gudas.
The Butcher,
episode 47. Awesome, dude. Nice to reconnect. Nice to see him doing well down there in Florida.
How good of a guy is he, man?
He's a funny dude.
He's the best, dude. And I forgot. I'm so pissed at myself because I forgot the one thing that we've talked about before with Jake, you know, and I do that stupid talk and gets people, what's going on. Dude, he loved that. And I forgot to bring it up. I did it to Nuvi when he came, and we had had a few, we were at a team dinner, and I didn't think Goody was going to be able to walk. He was rolled over laughing so hard at the look on Newbie's face. Like he just had no idea what I was
seeing. Headlights.
Yeah. And Goody, I never seen him laugh so hard. It was so funny. But anyway, I wish I would have remembered to bring that up.
Oh, that's good. We'll have to maybe give him a little ring one day and get him.
Yeah, we'll have to. But like you said, man, I'm so happy for him. They have such a good team. Man.
Oh yeah.
If you haven't watched the Panthers, like you got to watch them because I mean, another thing we didn't bring up, but it's not that big a deal, is like, I feel like their attendance is getting better. I mean, they've got a good team, man.
Oh
like,
yeah. They're legit.
So that building, as you know, you've played there, is in a tough tough location.
Yeah.
You know, it's not in Miami. It's not in Fort Lauderdale where there's, you know, there's people where they are at Sunrise, but man, it's, they've got a good team. That place should be sold out every night.
But, yeah. You'd think so, but they keep winning. They'll be drawing. Yeah, man. Yeah, they're a really good team.
It's the same way in Carolina.
Yeah. Right. Start rallying around once you start winning.
Yeah. You talk about another good team. Whew.
Yeah. Right. I'm still undefeated.
They're still undefeated, and that place is jumping every night.
Like, yep.
That's all you have to do in North Carolina. Like, obviously hockey's grown there. They've won a Stanley Cup years ago, but you win in any sport, it's you're going to get people there. So anyway, yep. Goody was awesome, man. Yep. It was so nice to finally get him on because we had to bail on him a couple times just with our schedules with the kids and everything. So it was nice to talk to him. I feel like I could have talked to him for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Such a great guy.
Easy to talk to for sure.
Yeah.
All right, knuckleheads. That's a wrap. Episode 47 in the books. Thanks again, Radko.
Yeah. The Butcher. Until, thanks, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Until next week, be sure to tune in for episode 48. Boys are rolling.
Boys are rolling.
Take care, knuckleheads.
See you, knuckleheads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.